Hey folks,
this is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are and whatever part of the day you're in. Sure to appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your time. I know y'all have other things to do, so I'm grateful for that. On the homestead, we have had a little chicken drama, it seems like. I think the two older roosters have picked on the younger rooster until it is hiding and it's lost its hens. So we'll see if it actually survives the next few months. We're going to get some more hens this spring, God willing, but I don't know if he'll make it that long. So we'll see. You could do a lot of psychological research. I'm sure it already has been done on the similarities between animals and people, but maybe even more the dissimilarities. At any rate, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the time to record this podcast. Thank you for the people that listen to it and share it. Be with them and their families. Guide us, Lord. Bless us. Give us a strong faith, wisdom, courage, patience, and humility. Help us to help those that have less than we do. Help us to help our country turn back to you. Thank you for all the many blessings you've bestowed upon us, and forgive us not only our sins in general, but our lack of gratitude. Guide those who lead us, Lord. Turn their hearts to you. Be with those who protect us. Protect them and their families. Help us to get back, Lord, to you as a nation. Us to spend time in your word, to pray, strengthen our family, strengthen our marriages. And guide my words here, Father. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. We're going to kind of be all over the place today, I think, folks. So we'll see. Some sermon notes. I think this is actually from a couple weeks ago. You know, so many of us talk about how tired we are. Exhausted, often we use the word, and we really mean it, at least in our own hearts. Talk about how stretched thin we are. We have so many different engagements. And then often what happens, right, is we get so many engagements and then we start to miss some that we think are really important, or at least we say they're really important. And then we start to feel guilt about not going to those events or obligations. You see it in adults, you see it in our kids today. I was just talking to one of my children this week about how they want to do certain things, but by the time they get to the end of their school day, they're just so exhausted. It's just a whole nother argument, folks. We've made our school days, at least as far as public school goes, unbelievably too long. And if we're being honest as parents, as adults, we're really just doing it so that somebody's babysitting our kids, because we don't want them at home. So we want somebody else to take care of them. And then we want to tell those people how to take care of them, but we also want to tell them they can't discipline our children. It's so twisted, it'll make your head spin. But we're not really sending our kids to school this long for their betterment. Don't lie to yourself about that. We're sending them to school this long so that somebody else has to deal with them. Because if you really think that your kid is meeting their full potential, the vast majority in public school today, you don't know what you're talking about, you haven't been there, or you're just lying to yourself and others, right? I get off on this, I know folks all the time on these little trails about education because it's so important. We've created a society that's basically centered around education. It controls our life as a country. When the kids go to school, dictates the work schedules, drop-off schedules, pickup schedules, sports, extracurricular events schedules, summer schedules, when we can take family vacation schedules. Anyway, to get back to the point, we get all exhausted, and then when you start to talk about some really important things, right, like our faith or our marriage, we say, "Well, I'm just so tired," which is it's laughable, right? So if you ask somebody the most important things in their life, a large chunk of people would say, "Well, my faith and my family and my marriage." And yet those are the things we make the first excuses for. Because we don't want to do the hard work to deepen our faith and strengthen our marriage and raise our own children. Here's just a little analogy that kind of popped in my head as our pastor was talking a couple weeks ago. If someone offered us $5,000 each day, 10,000, make it whatever you want, 50,000, 500,000, and all we had to do was work for 1 hour, we would shift our entire world. We'd do whatever we had to do to work that 1 hour a day to make that X amount of money. You know we would. You know yourself. You know without. And some of y'all are sitting there going, "Well, yeah, I would. Anybody would. That's the smart thing to do." Okay, fair enough. God offers us unimaginable treasure. He says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard what he has prepared for those who love him." We can't even comprehend it. For all eternity. And yet we seem put out to spend even 1 hour a week with him. If we do that, most of us can't even begin to comprehend spending time with him each day on a consistent basis in prayer and reading the Bible. We're going to have to do a little podcast about Bible literacy at some point because I've heard it come up a couple times, and it's absolutely one of the main reasons that we have the problems that we have politically today. You go back to that Horace Greeley quote about it's impossible to mentally or socially enslave a Bible reading people. Well, we're not a Bible reading people. And guess what's happening? There's a real famous quote that I clung to for years by Ralph Waldo Emerson. It's given in a number of different ways, and I'm not even real sure, folks, that he actually said it. I've looked up a couple different things. Doing just a little bit of research, the way the quote is actually supposedly written by Emerson is, "Don't say things. What you are stands over you the while and thunders so that I cannot hear what you say to the contrary." I like that. You have to think about that one a little bit more than the one I've heard most often is what you do speaks so loudly that I cannot hear the words you were saying. And so either way, you get the point. This is especially true with people that have a brain. It's especially true often with our spouses and our children. Children see through this all the time. You know, if we say one thing, but we do something completely different, they see it. They may not understand or be able to process it real well as a kid or even as a spouse. Sometimes we don't know how to process it when our spouse, for example, tells us they love us, but they never act like it, right? It's the indifference. You kind of see God's comment about you're lukewarm. I wish you were hot or cold. It's easier to deal with someone that's completely cold to you, that's antagonistic to you, than it is somebody that's just indifferent, right? That just seems to not even care. They don't care whether you're there or not there, whether you're angry or happy. And kids see that too, you know. So I've always liked that quote. You know, you have to ask yourself why, as the pastor was talking about different things, why are we like this? And I have some ideas, but you got to think about that a little bit. Why do we not do the things that we know we should? And we do the things that we know we shouldn't. Just a little comment in here. All I did was write a little note. How do you know about people? Well, you look at the fruits of the Spirit, right? You look at the fruits of their labor. Interesting how we have people in the country. You know, Christ tells us to care for the least of these. We have certain people in the country, a pretty big chunk, that via their actions, they constantly attack those who can't defend themselves. Abortion, right? Babies. Euthanasia. Are you talking about Down syndrome or the elderly or the terminally ill? People that just, they can't defend themselves. People that are without families, right? You see this more and more in Western civilization in general, in Europe and Canada, right? This push for euthanasia, for getting rid of people that the deplorables, so to speak, the people that, quote unquote, that don't matter, right? The core values of a certain group of people, the kind of death mentality, the mutilation mentality. You look at the LGBTQ lifestyles and what it's done to children. Adults too, folks, but what it's done to children. Breaking apart families, breaking apart marriages, being raised in a broken house, right? Because every house, whether there's two men or two women living together in it or not, you know, claiming to be married or whatever, it's a broken house. And so we're taking advantage. You see a lot of these adoption videos these days of the homosexual couples adopting children. Again, preying on the least of these. You see the parents taking their kids in to get the puberty blockers to transition, again, preying on the least of these. The kids don't have the ability, the comprehension to stand up against it, especially coming from somebody that supposedly loves them, whose actions speak so loudly that it doesn't matter what they say. The poor and the needy, you look at illegal immigration. There's nothing kind or caring about that, about supporting that. You're hurting poor and needy who are trying to get in, and you're hurting poor and needy who are already here, our American brothers and sisters. One of the last comments, he was talking about when we find ourselves wanting to do something good, wanting to try and help these people, are we angry? Are we doing it out of selfish motives? Are we actually angry about the suffering of those who can't defend themselves? Are we doing it for personal gain, financial gain, self-righteousness? Or are we doing it because we're actually angry, furious, if you will, at the suffering of those who can't defend themselves? Anyway, as I said, I've done this a couple weeks now. Our pastor's been on a pretty good roll lately and has not been holding many punches. I didn't really intend to do this, but I'm going to. We're going to spend the last few minutes kind of looking at a couple articles, just a little, some points out of. I'm just going to kind of read through some highlights from the Epic Times. I'll tell you what, I was looking for one in particular. A couple interesting comments, if you know anything about this border crisis down in Texas, where the state is putting up this razor wire and these fencing, the wall down there, trying to slow the invasion. And then the Supreme Court says, well, they can't do that, right? It's interesting to note that every single woman, even the one that's supposedly super conservative, all voted to help continue the flood of illegal immigrants into our country. I'll just leave you with that thought on that one. One thing that's interesting, there's a case out of Tennessee. You've got some pro-life activists, if my tongue will work. And I'm going to read you just a little snippet because I'm running out of time here. This is from Miss Edel, one of the ones. They're faced with a decade in prison for protesting out in front of an abortion clinic, for praying, for reading the Bible, singing church hymns, and blocking the door of a now shuttered facility. The facility doesn't even exist anymore because Tennessee has banned almost all abortions. And so they're accused of impeding access to abortion. So we're going to put these people in prison because they were trying to stop the slaughter of children. Miss Edel, 88, she's one of the 10 or however many, half dozen, 12, is a communist concentration camp survivor. She has been arrested for blockading abortion facilities more than 50 times over the past 35 years. As a child, she was taken by train from her home in Yugoslavia to one of the camps that operated after World War II. When I was on the cattle car with all my people and we were shipped to the death camp to be exterminated, Miss Edel previously told the Epic Times, I just wish in those days that somebody would have cared enough to go in front of that gate and stand on those railroad tracks and say, you cannot take these babies and children unless you go over our dead bodies. She said the views, the sitting in front of the door of the abortion facility, she views that as her way of standing on the train tracks. Just because the government says abortion is legal doesn't mean it's right. This case in Tennessee is based on something called the FACE Act conspiracy, and their charge is conspiracy to violate civil rights. This article is by Beth Brelje, if I said that right, Brelje. And the interesting thing here, right, is so we're just flooding the country with illegals. And we're attacking those who try and defend the most innocent among us. One other thing real quick, Senator Tim Scott is one of the ones tracking this down. The Treasury apparently has been looking at Americans' private financial accounts for transactions with religious texts. Right? And that they were tagged based on certain religious texts that they bought as an individual that was involved in or might be have a tendency to be involved in domestic violent terrorism. And you can guess the route that that's going today if you're going to buy a Bible and get tagged like that. It's the state of where things are today, folks. If you think we can't end up like Germany or Russia or China in the 20th century, we're pretty well on our way. And we're going to have to make some tough decisions, each one of us, about actions pretty soon versus words. God bless y'all, your families, your marriages. God bless America.